Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. President Trump's first 3 months in office have been marked by headline after headline as he makes good on his campaign promises. More than 150 lawsuits have been filed challenging the legality of Trump's actions, everything from his attempts to roll back birthright citizenship and deporting legal residents to firing civil servants and budget freezes. Legal experts say these moves are tests on the limits of the executive branch. Today, I checked in with Kathy Salvi, chair of the Illinois Republican Party, for her reflections on the first 3 months of the Trump presidency and how it's affecting Illinois residents. When I talked to her back on Inauguration Day in January, Salvi said that the mood in Washington was, quote, festive and hopeful, and that Trump's presidency will bring about a sense of optimism and unity within the Republican Party. So I asked her if she still feels that way.
Absolutely.
Tell me why.
And I have to tell you, when I came up to studios today, I was reminded of Ida B. Wells' quote, which is right there blazed on the wall. You probably see it every day.
Yes.
The way to right wrongs is to turn the light on the truth upon them. And isn't that true? This is probably the most accessible president we've seen in modern times. There's no issue that he will not speak to. And I think the eyes of the American electorate have been open, and that's why his popularity is so is burgeoning.
You know, when we talk about just sort of the mood of the administration, of the party, the unity and such, GOP-aligned polling is showing Trump's approval rating is actually going down. It's declining, Kathy. So do you think that he is really doing a good job?
Well, look at where we are. We're in tough times. We have now people recognize that the United States of America have been the whipping post, if you will, on trade. And a light has been shown on the absolute unfair trading practices of the past generation. Now, I'll tell you, this is a real tough, tough situation we find ourselves in. And this president has taken it upon himself, this administration, to tackle it. And so let's talk about what difficulties we're in. The country's tariffs, for instance, have been in place for decades, and they were meant to help many countries after World War II. But nobody has challenged the fact that those protectionist policies by countries no longer make sense. Many countries have taken advantage of us, and they keep our products out of their markets. So what does President Trump do? He's tried to reset. That's the name of your program, Reset. He's trying to reset all that. And he's the only one brave enough to take it on.
But since he's actually gone ahead and imposed those tariffs, a lot of negative impacts have happened, Kathy. I mean, the stock market has plunged and rebounded after temporarily, you know, after he announced these delays that he's now put in the tariffs. We've been seeing bond sell-offs. That's alarming economists right now. You have to see that as well, right? How are you still hopeful?
There's no question that it is tough and it's messy and it's painful. But if he's successful in bringing down tariffs across the world, that's a big deal for everyone. You remember, he's a deal maker, and that's what he's trying to do. He's using our leverage and the concept of fairness to bring down tariffs everywhere. And that's good. That's a very good thing. And look what's happened already. We have scores of countries who are coming to the table to negotiate, recognizing that they're no longer able to mistreat America, and they will be granted a temporary reprieve. And for those like China who want to retaliate after years of ripping us off, the United States will not bend or break.
But we also have many people who are worried that they're going to have to do things like delay retirement or go back to work because they're losing money in the stock market. So what do you say to those folks?
Well, I would say these are tough times. We have to buckle up. The concept of fairness will be somewhat painful, but to bring down tariffs everywhere, that's the end. That's not only good for the United States jobs, and U.S. workers, it's good for the world. Trump is also right to recognize that national security is at play here with many industries. COVID and China both have taught us that we have to come, we've become too highly dependent on other countries to a fault.
And you don't think it's diminishing our relationship with those other countries?
No, I think it's causing them to respect us more. Scores of countries have come to us, and President Trump is liberating America from unfair, hostile trade practices that have hollowed out the American manufacturing base. And it left us reliant on other countries for critical goods like food, pharmaceuticals, materials, and a host of other materials. So we need to eliminate the regulations that cripple our growth, cut taxes for working class, and foster growth by fast-tracking approvals on bringing new manufacturing, bringing new goods to the U.S. markets. We want companies to come to America. We invite them, and we're rolling out the red carpet to make sure that it's fast, easy, and profitable for them to hire Americans and to build here in America.
I don't think they feel like the red carpet's being rolled out right now. But well, I'm curious too, Kathy, you know, as I talked about what this is doing to the stock market and people's wallets, how is your personal portfolio looking after President Trump's tariff announcements?
Hey, look, are we 2 weeks into this? Just 14 days? I'll tell you, our country is on a track for economic collapse, bankruptcy. I mean, we cannot allow this country to remain the whipping post of the world. And I think right now, people are turning and looking and saying, no, we want to do business with America. And other countries are envying the strength and resolve of this administration. And I think many people's eyes are open. So we have to look at this not in the immediate term, but the long term. And it's essential to not only the survival of our country, but many of the policies that have been in play on a host of different issues really done great harm to our international standing and to our national security.
Yeah. What about agriculture? We know that's a major contributor here in our state, right, to our economy.
Absolutely.
We're one of the top growers of soybeans in the country. 60% of our soybeans are exported out. China is, of course, the biggest importer. What do you have to say to farmers right now in Illinois, Kathy, who are concerned that market is drying up?
I was a candidate for U.S. Senate back in 2022, so I heard from many of them. I said, listen, we've just got to tighten the belt. And the United States government was there and did not let them down. I believe that there were a record number of subsidies to help shore up the difficulty.
Kathy, DOGE is intent on slashing the federal government. So according to the Illinois Attorney General's office, we got nearly 446 terminated federal employees in Illinois who applied for unemployment in just the first 2 months of Donald Trump being in office. That is about the same number of people who applied for it in all of 2024. How is laying off federal workers good for the Illinois economy?
Well, one thing a president has done is to examine DOGE, what is it? The Department of Government
Efficiency. Efficiency.
Right. So let me ask you this. If we just look at the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, you could see just so much government waste. And the federal, it would be good for us to take this type of look at our own paid government workers as well and determine whether or not we could trim our budgets here in Illinois, given the severe financial crisis our state is undergoing.
What examples of waste are you talking about in the Illinois government?
Excellent question. And let me Let me go to my notes here. Well, look at you could just look at yesterday, just the Wall Street Journal and the article on the moral case for reforming Medicaid. Many people who are on Medicaid, for instance, and who administer that program, those people on it would say that the services that they receive are substandard and not meeting their medical needs. And yet Medicaid is a program that, you know, is in crisis. And you asked about DOGE. Okay, I'm looking at a program. I'm looking at Medicaid and how it's administered and how it's administered in Illinois. Mm-hmm. Republicans are offering a program where 20 hours a week is required for those people who receive these services. And there's several exceptions for nearly everyone who has a plausible reason not to work, like pregnant women, those caring for incapacitated relatives.
So where's the waste?
So when you look at 6 in 10 able-bodied adults who are on the program who earn no income, what you're doing is your work is a condition for a benefit to American economy, and it's a cultural norm that should be supported. And the savings that we will have on Medicaid by enabling those who are on it to get off of it and to find meaningful work is a very healthy thing for our economy. So I would suggest looking at the Medicaid program and how those monies are administered in Illinois is a good place to look for waste.
Well, let's talk about immigration while I have you. In
sure.
January on Reset, you mentioned that concerns about U.S. citizens and legal residents getting caught up in immigration detention, that they were, quote, fear-mongering. Since then, in the Chicago area, a U.S. citizen was detained by ICE. And just this morning, WBEZ and the Sun-Times are reporting that a Chicago man seeking asylum was sent to an El Salvador prison without due process. There have also been several high-profile examples across the country, Kathy, of immigrants with legal status being detained because of their political views. Do you agree with those actions?
You are taking one or two individuals, and I don't know the name of that individual, but there is an individual that I read and saw yesterday that is highlighted in Maryland, who is a known member of a MS-13 gang, and a gang that has and not only was he determined to be a known member, but it was verified by his immigration judge, by the appeal court for the immigration judge, and by the local law enforcement.
We're going to get back to that interview with Kathy Salvi, but first, we want to quickly provide some important context to a couple of things that she claimed. We know a lot of stuff around immigration processes can be confusing, so we want to clear some things up. Kathy said that Kilmar Abrego Garcia was a known member of MS-13, that it was verified by an immigration court judge and local law enforcement, and that he had due process. So a few things to clear up here. He did appear before an immigration court after being arrested in 2019. In immigration bond hearings, it's the detainees who have the burden of proof to show that they are not a danger to the community. That means it was up to Garcia to provide this evidence. While Garcia may have failed to meet that burden for the court, it's not the same as the government proving affirmatively that he was a gang member. The immigration court proceedings did not constitute a conviction because they were not trials. Abrego Garcia later received the right not to be deported, which required the Department of Homeland Security to consider him not a danger to the security of the United States. Now, Poynter reports that President Trump did not reopen his trial, and NPR reports that the Justice Department admitted that Abrego Garcia was removed due to an administrative error. Now back to the interview with Kathy Salvi, who's chair of the Illinois Republican Party. I want to also talk to you about how far the president sounds like he's willing to take things. On Monday at a press conference with the president of El Salvador, addressing the case of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who was wrongfully deported, Trump expressed interest in sending American citizens who have committed crimes to foreign prisons. Let me just play a little bit of that.
I don't know what the laws are. We always have to obey the laws, but we also have homegrown criminals. I'd like to include them in the group of people to get them out of the country, but you'll have to be looking at the laws on that.
What do you think about that? Is that okay?
Relative to the president's statement, what our schools are doing is producing a radicalization of our children, robbing them of their innocence. And that could be seen that could be seen in many of the, just look at television, in many of the unjustified protests that we've seen, many of them, most of them peaceful, but many of them violent. So I would suggest that schools should focus rather than on the sexualization, politicization, and the racialization of the young children who go there, which is causing them to have radical wackadoodle ideas.
You mean the children going to protests?
No, I'm just saying if you look at some of the protests that we've seen, it is evidence of the radicalization of our youth.
Well, so, I mean, to your point of protest, I think you're also seeing protests, you know, in response to the president's expansion of what the idea of wrongdoing is. Take the case for Mahmoud Khalil, for instance, right? He was a green card holder who hasn't committed any crimes. His political views, though, they did not align with the administration's foreign policy interests. So, again, what is to stop the president from just expanding who is seen as a criminal to, you know, people who support DEI, to maybe trans people, and just attempting to send them to prisons in El Salvador? Would you oppose that?
Our country is a country based upon law. And laws that are passed by our Congress and our legislature, and debated at that level should be followed. And we have, as a nation of laws, immigration laws. Now, you may not like them, but this past administration for 4 years subverted the laws of this country and allowed our southern border to be overrun by people without any vetting of their ideas and any vetting of their love for America. You and your beautiful history, I think, you know, having been raised in Dominican Republic and, you know, taught in Canada, our wonderful neighbor to the north, you find yourself.
Oh, you
in
mean
this,
me?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I'm not from the Dominican Republic. I'm from Jamaica.
Jamaica. Forgive me.
Yeah.
Then it's another beautiful Caribbean country. You have lived what many seek, the American dream. And you are a living example of that, Sasha Ann. That's awesome. And I was raised in Waukegan, Illinois, the first of 9 kids from working class parents. You know, every paycheck they had was just hand to mouth. And all of us kids were taught at a young age to work and to contribute to our family. I am a product of the American dream. And I want that dream to be available for my children, grandchildren, every person that I meet, which is why I'm so thrilled to be the chair of the Illinois Republican Party. But I will tell you, this president and his administration love this country and realize it's a country of laws. And those laws have to be known and abided by. And I am a big fan, as I'm sure you are, of legal immigration. We need to honor the laws that are on the books.
We're just about out of time. Kathy Salvey is the chair of the Illinois Republican Party. Thank you so much for checking in with us, Kathy.
Oh, thank you, Sasha. I appreciate it.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Dan Tucker. For in-depth conversations to spark insight and curiosity, make sure to subscribe to the podcast, or you can find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again later today.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.